The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Hey, don't I take on... Is today the day I take on rap? Me versus rap?
You don't take on all of rap.
I take on rap.
You don't go up against rap.
Yes, I go up against rap, and I win, okay? Week after week after week.
John keeps beating rap?
Yeah. Yeah. Dominating.
Is this how this works?
I dominate rap.
John is actually making rap's point.
I'm like hey, the James
we are
Harden.
Actually something you guys should be paying attention to because you see how poorly it's done by this guy?
I'm like the James Harden, score after score after score against rap.
Well, then you must travel taking five steps.
Oh, that's what Nicole Briscoe just said. And on ESPN, she goes, what, something about five steps or
keep
something?
Keep slandering Nicole. And
Lance
that
had
seat
some
about four
ugly,
in the morning.
Ugly words for her.
Keep slandering while you're at 4 a.m. on ESPN. No one's watching.
You were watching. And guess what happened?
You guys have it on here instead of Good Morning Football.
Because Kay Adams is a rag.
Because Kyle Brandt and Nate Burleson and all those guys are really great. Kay happens to be on there too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Not interested. Here's the deal is, dude, I went to the game last night. Mm-hmm. Honest to God, James Harden, when he is... Just watching, and it's better because you can actually, you know, focus on the guys and get an idea. That dude is something really. He was an athlete that can do that against such high level of competition and just be as dominant as he is when he and score whenever he wants. I'm believing Daryl Morey when he says. That James is the best isolation player ever.
Oh, it sounds like hyperbole.
It really does.
I don't think it is because he makes free throws if you foul him. He gets fouled a ton. He can make threes, and he is a really, really efficient scorer. Even with both hands, he got his right hand dunk in yesterday. He is. He's one of the greatest offensive weapons in NBA history. Chris Paul called him that yesterday. After the game, saying he's the greatest offensive player that I've ever seen. He is.
I was talking about this, and Justin says, he goes, well, what about KD? But ISO, you know, yeah, KD can get a shot off, and he can fade away. Dirk, there are unstoppable shots. Yes.
But they don't take it to the rim.
But they can't go to the rim. They can't get to the rim like James can. They just can't. They just don't have that ability. And James can do whatever he wants. And when he, I mean, dude, I really have a new, I don't know why, but last night I was like, oh my God, we're watching something really special. Although I still am not sure that he ever wins because he doesn't, if he had that hunger, if he had that Michael Jordan yearning to be great, to be not great, but to win, and willed everyone to win in the biggest moments, he would be one of the all-time greats. But he really truly doesn't have that.
Well, I just think I think we get swayed by the off the court stuff, which matters.
No, we get swayed by game by elimination.
Well,
games.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I think about just everything he does that's non basketball is posted, and I know how important it is for him to be at parties and do this and that, and maybe I just didn't know it with MJ. Maybe he just
MJ partied.
Yeah.
Oh, MJ was trying MJ to like to have a good time now.
No, but he tried to keep things on the low. This generation wants to blow it up and let you see all of their business to the point that it's too much. MJ was doing stuff like low down too. But James, I mean, people get all upset because they got to point to this, that, or the other. But I mean, the fact is, from an offensive standpoint, he's one of the greatest that's ever played. I mentioned that. After the last season, I've mentioned that in arguments. It's not really arguable. Efficiency-wise, he makes threes. He makes free throws. He gets there all the time. His efficiency numbers are tremendous. He's got one of the most deadly two-step, first steps of all time because he can go from quick movement to long strides. He gets by anybody he wants to. You know he's left-handed, and yet he still gets by you on the left. Oh, I don't know how he does it every time.
But they were JT's like, look at this defense. He is on his left arm. He's giving, basically just saying, go right.
Go right. And go he right. can still get around and left. I don't know how he does
it. He's amazing. And it's amazing. And he's still, you're right, and he still can get. Now, he can also go. I mean, I don't know why they think that James can go right, and he can lay it. Didn't he dunked with his right hand last night? He is, I'm telling you, he is really, really something special. The whole thing is the elimination thing. And the biggest moments, he just has not ever come through. Be it Oklahoma City in the finals, be it
last year in game against 6 and 7 Golden with no State. Chris Paul, he had a huge opportunity.
They had a huge, and led him to 0 for 27. I mean, it wasn't all on him. Nobody made baskets, but
he had a great first half.
He's the guy. He's the man that has to come through. Like last night. Last night he said, "Oh, we're winning this game. We're winning it. I don't care. Give me the ball because I will put." Didn't matter where he was going to make the basket. Right. He was phenomenal last night. Just phenomenal last night. And if he can harness that and do that. When it's the biggest moments, he just doesn't have that though. And
well,
that's
regular season. You can argue he's the best player in basketball, maybe other than LeBron, or maybe including LeBron over the last 4 years in terms of rebounds, assists, points, wins, everything across the board.
Well, and I think KD's
way
in that,
more than
KD's in that conversation.
KD's in that conversation as well, but it's James. It's probably even more so than it looked like Steph was in there. But now I'd say. You know, LeBron didn't really have a huge impact on winning in the regular season. There it is. Look at James going to work.
What about how about pop-up you know? There's videos. It's called this button right here.
It's from mute. The guy who we are going to get this.
It's
in about
mute.
When the first text comes in, it goes ding.
I turn my phones off.
You sure? Because it's on your computer here too. Where it dings
here in church. Okay, turn it off. By the way, are you following the Pope?
What do you mean, am I following
the Pope? Are you following the Pope on Twitter?
On Twitter?
Yeah,
no,
Pope Francis.
I don't follow the Pope, and I don't follow athletes on Twitter.
Well, here's what the Pope just tweeted. Be like St. Joseph, a man of dreams, not a dreamer, a man of silence because he respects God's plan. What I think he means is, Del, be silent. That's what he means. I think it's aimed pretty much at you.
If I could, I would, to be honest with you.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, if I could sit here and not have to respond to you, it'd be great for me.
Well, here's the deal. Is please don't talk. I think that's what he means.
Then don't address me. Keep my name out of your mouth, and I won't.
Okay.
Ooh, that brings us to we'll get to Marcus Peters later.
Have you seen this? No, watch this. There's a girl in.
Oh yeah. Don't walk in platform shoes. If
oh
you
my
don't
god!
Know
in
how.
Platform shoes, the worst spill I've ever seen. She had to tear up her knees. Oh my god! That's the worst spill I've ever seen. Tear up this right knee. Oh god. That's the worst.
What's that on?
Travis Johnson just retweeted right, it for
I'm
some reason.
To, you got to watch pass that one along. So the Rockets got to win 102-97 against those pesky Utah Jazz, who, by the way, it's a disappointing season for the Jazz right now, 14-17. You beat a losing team at home, but you beat them for yet another win. And the Rockets have won four in a row after they were 11-14 when I went out of town. And they're now, maybe I'm the bad luck. I don't know. Because now they're 15-14, and the Rockets going to win. And James has played at an exceptionally high level here as of late. They're still not clicking as a complete unit, but right now James Harden is carrying them, and that's frankly what he's going to have to do. It's just weird to see this other Chris Paul. I don't know who this Chris Paul is.
I don't know who he is.
I don't know who this Chris Paul. He doesn't look like he's worth $40 million. I don't know that $40 million Chris Paul, but that's what it is. I know somebody right now who apparently is worth $32 million, and that's Michael Brantley. The Houston Astros have a new bat in the middle of the lineup, 10-year veteran from the Cleveland Indians who missed 16 and 17 basically before with injury, came back last year, hit over 300. He's sandwiched the injury years with a couple of 300 seasons. He had 20 bombs in 14 or 15. And then last year he had 17-76, a big comeback season. It's a nice bet in the lineup. I know we're talking a lot about pitching because Dallas Keuchel's gone. I guess he's gone. He's not currently here. He's not currently anywhere. Is there any chance that Dallas Keuchel could?
Man, do you see what's going on? Bryce Harper
can't get an offer.
The Dodgers said we'll give him a short deal.
Teams are being smart.
Yeah.
It's not an automatic you get $350
million. No.
It's not an automatic. Imagine that. Some fiscal responsibility in a sport.
I believe Jeff Luhnow is going to make a big deal, and they're going to have like a huge name in this rotation before they get
signing.
To
February.
Not through a signing. Right. Not through a signing. Through a trade. But I believe that will happen. It may come a little bit later, but Jeff Luhnow is going to bolster this rotation. You think Brantley's in the middle of the order?
Well, I think he could be.
I think he's in the top of the order.
You think he's at the very top?
He might be.
I
think Springer's more of a three-hole hitter.
But why would they do that? He's been a leadoff hitter for two straight years.
Yeah, I know.
Full time.
But they also put Bregman at the top. I don't know. I've always thought that's a mistake.
He likes it there.
Why
are they going to change it?
Listen, it's a real possibility that doesn't happen, but I wouldn't mind seeing Brantley at the top of this order.
But what's likely with AJ Hinch? It's not to move Springer out of there. That's not likely.
Unless you move him to three. Likely.
He ain't hitting ahead of Bregman.
No, you go Brantley, Bregman, Springer, Altuve, Correa.
I don't think that's going to happen. It could. You could see him at the two
Altuve.
Hole, but I don't see Altuve getting moved to four or five. I don't see him getting fewer at-bats because you move him back.
Or Altuve at three and Springer four. Springer is more of a cleanup hitter than he is a...
Well, then where's Bregman?
Bregman's two. Altuve,
but Springer's not leaving the one hole. AJ doesn't believe in that.
No, well, you're right. I mean, I believe in it. Just because AJ doesn't believe in it doesn't mean it's right.
It doesn't mean it's going to happen just because you believe in it. It's going to be Springer at one. It's going to be Altuve at two more than likely, and then you're going to get Bregman at three, and then four. I mean, four could be Brantley.
Four could be Brantley. I don't.
I know he doesn't feel like a cleanup hitter, but I don't really think that the Astros care about.
He was their number two hitter. He was their two hitter all year.
He comes in here and what is he? The fourth, the fifth best hitter in the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get one of the top three spots.
We'll see.
I don't see that happening, but it is nice to have another lefty. With some pop.
Well, and I think a lot of it might depend on if it's a righty or lefty on the mound.
So it's going to be your outfielder is going to be Reddick and Brantley and Dorsey.
And Springer.
There's some pop.
Center.
there's some popping it out.
And yeah, and now the question is, because he DH'd seven games, how much is this a rotating DH right now?
Who is the DH right now?
Well, is it Kemp? Is it that'll be weird.
Oh, if you're gonna play, if you played Kemp, yeah, you could DH Brantley, I guess, because he's older.
I guess, but he's a
What kind of arm does he have? Because that's a pretty good arm. Reddick's got a pretty good arm.
I don't know how many assists he had last year. I don't know.
So you got Yuli. You've got obviously second, short, and third are set. First is set. You're pretty well set right now, except who's your catcher?
Well, you just picked up Chirinos.
But that's not for real, though, right?
Yes, it's for real.
That's like two or three.
No, that's for real.
That's not your real catcher.
That really happened.
But that's not your real catcher.
Yeah, it really happened.
No.
But what do you mean, no? Why would you? Yes. No,
we're not doing this.
Okay. Well, I don't.
Who else?
What do you mean, who else? That's
can't
it.
Can't be loaded at every position, Lance.
Can't be loaded at every position.
Says you.
No, says that lineup.
Says you.
No, says the current.
And then you got to find a place for Tucker.
You know what?
What?
Yeah. You got to find a place for Tucker.
Why?
Maybe he's the DH.
I guess with 18 bombs.
Because he kind of falls around out there in the outfield. He looks like Lamar Miller sometimes running.
Austin,
with,
I guess, yeah, aside. I mean, it is. Chirinos is going to be your full-time guy. I mean, never mind his 140 strikeouts in 360 at-bats. The dude almost struck out. He struck out less than once every three at-bats. This is the worst strikeout number I've ever. This is like Chris Carter bad.
Yeah, but he handles the staff well. He frames pitches well.
Oh, good.
Well, the good news is, though, he can actually catch the ball.
Here's more good news. He's 34.
Right.
So you had a 31-year-old, a 34-year-old.
Solved.
I like the way this team is starting to put it together.
Why don't you talk about...
I'm all about that glory hole.
Well, no, that's Drayton. No. They're not
that's
the same
not Drayton.
Guys.
Very similar. That was Jarrah.
That his voice is very similar.
His is way up here. I'm all about that glory hole.
His is down here.
Why don't you talk about how Chirinos needs some more testosterone?
I don't believe that to be the case, Astros. I know that's not legal.
I know Eric Reed doesn't, right? Eric Reed doesn't need any more.
He keeps passing them tests.
I mean, I tell you what, the lab work looks good so far on Eric Reed. We'll tell you about that in just a little bit. And the Astros do have a new outfielder. If you want to jump in, 713-780-3776. Hey, Men's Tea Clinic, when you are on the go, one of the things that you need to do is to keep up that pace, keep up that energy level. And how do you do that? Well, you do it naturally. I mean, you know, your energy is your energy. But one of the things that I found a few years ago is when Men's Tea Clinic first asked me to speak for them, they said, yeah, we want you to speak for us. And I said, well, I want to find out more about your company. And we were talking, and I really liked them. I liked how they were set up. I liked the safety. I liked the way that, you know, they looked into people's testosterone levels and would alter and change the programs to get optimal results. But what really stood out to me was when they said, hey, Lance, we listen to the show and know you're tired a lot. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, it's 6 a.m. show. I drink coffee. I crash after the coffee. That's just all that is. Well, let's test you and see where you are. And sure enough, my levels were low. And that happens to one out of every three men approaching or over the age of 40. And if that happens to you, your quality of life will go down. Mine had gone down. It just became my new norm. Well, that's different now. And Men's Tea Clinic has changed everything for me. Energy level, much higher. Quality of life, much higher. This is an opportunity for you to get back to being the real you. Go to menstclinic.com, Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, and the Heights. It's menstclinic.com. Why do you leave
without? Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. So we're seeing the story today is the resurgence of defense, right? Because now all of a sudden, all these teams that were high-flying, nonstop hijinks and hilarity, and the NFL was turning into college football, and it was 54-51, and you know, and oh, the game has changed. The game is totally different. All the rules were pro offense. All the and now yeah, for the quarterback, for the wide receivers, it's unstoppable now. And scene. And now the Saints haven't scored. The Saints put up 12. And the week before against the Cowboys, 3 weeks now, they can't. But they're putting up what, 17 a game.
I lost a fantasy matchup in the playoffs. I was considered. CBS does this projected. You know what percentage chance? I was at 91% entering the game to win. I had Drew Brees, Mike Thomas, and Will Lutz, and they scored so few points that I lost by one, and the game just couldn't even believe it. My CBS Sportsline fantasy is like, what the is happening? Mm. What is this?
All of a sudden, it was going less and less and less.
I'm like, yeah, it just kept.
But one more freaking point.
One more
point. Drew Brees must have scored a ton for you last night.
8.1.
Oh, my God. And Drew Brees.
Yeah, and Drew Brees. I thought I was going to cruise. So did obviously everything. But, no, you're right. It's right now, the Saints haven't been moving the ball offensively. The Rams haven't been moving the ball. The Chiefs still can, but the Chiefs got held below 30 against the Chargers. And they always say defense and running game is critical in December. And it's not just because everyone thinks it's because of weather, but it's actually because you start getting beat up. And skill position guys are not at even 90%. You start losing offensive linemen. Defenses have so much tape that they start to fine-tune things on you. And it really is the case. In December, offenses go down. That's just the way it is. And it's not just because of weather. It's just because of other factors. And we're even seeing that with the powerhouses. And when I was on with my number one show called The Blitz yesterday, one of the things that we were talking about on our top-rated show was that who's the great teams right now? Who are the teams? I'm going to go ahead and say league-wide. I guess it's still the Saints. But this is...
Yeah, but here's the thing about the fallacy about the Saints can play defense.
Yes.
The Saints can't play
and
defense.
And that's where the Chiefs... that's why it's right. So hard to trust the Chiefs right now.
Right. I mean, the Saints, we keep looking at the Saints high-flying and not... But the Saints have, by far, the best rushing defense in the NFL. Now, maybe a lot of that is everybody's playing catch-up against them, right?
Right.
Because... And they got to throw the ball because they were scoring so many points. But they're... They play defense. They play defense. And so that is a foul. I think the Bears are an elite team.
An elite team?
Yeah. I really do. I think that they've got the kind of defense that can win at the highest level.
I just don't think I'd use the word elite with them personally.
Jackson limping off the field last week didn't help. But I think that they are an elite defense. Are the Chiefs still? Are the Rams still?
Well,
I think the Chiefs are because they can score at any time.
Yeah,
but they play a good team and they lose.
The Chiefs right now have two major. You look at the flaws. This is what my sports map article is going to be tonight. But you look at the flaws. You look at the flaws of these teams, and we know the Texans' secondary is a. You know, when you play against a good passing team, they're going to struggle, and their offensive line and quarterback don't do a good job of protecting themselves and their quarterback. We know that. And they settle for field goals, not touchdowns. We know the Texans very, very well. The New England Patriots, Tom Brady, his worst season in years, doesn't have a rhythm offensively, and they have issues in their secondary. The Kansas City Chiefs lost their running back, who's a huge component, not a good defensive team. Chargers are one of the teams, they just have health issues right now at running back, but the Chargers are one of those teams that there's not a lot of really bad weaknesses and flaws in their game. Pittsburgh Steelers, inconsistent defensively.
Very.
Hurt at running back right now. And Ben Roethlisberger has had it. Mostly their issues are they're just inconsistent. And they haven't been playing good football in the fourth quarter in general. And then you go Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, rookie, can't pass right now. And they can't score.
If you want to talk about combined, it's New Orleans. New Orleans would be the most.
New Orleans is.
Dallas offensively is a mess. They're really good defensively.
Rams
Chicago, though, I'm telling you.
Chicago just had Jordan Howard hurt. He just hurt his knee. And they are up and down offensively, too.
I'm worried about Jackson defensively, too, because he's been a big part of their defense. But if you want the most well-rounded teams are the Saints, Chargers, Seattle, Chicago.
Yeah, it's true. And that should not be the case. You're saying that. And the Rams, think about what you're saying. The Rams have Marcus Peters, Tlaib came back, Aaron Donald. They have Todd Gurley. They have...
And yet their defense is average.
Brandon Cooks.
Below average.
And we're talking Andrew Whitworth, and we're talking about they're not well-rounded, then they're not doing a good job. Then McVay's not doing a good job coaching. Or somebody's not doing
that's
something well.
Because offensively, they've fallen off.
Not lately.
Because of Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp caused everything to fall apart?
Dude, last week, I don't know how many times people... Well, on the we do that TV show on Channel 57. Airs on Saturday mornings at 10:30. But Paul Gallant's question is: Are the Texans? How can they possibly go on without Kiki QT? What? This season depends on Kiki, a fourth round, 5'2" dude that can't get on the field. That's what the Texans' season depends
on. Size shaming, Dell. Size shaming.
Are you telling me that the Rams can't continue without?
I know.
Without
Listen
Cooper
to
Kupp.
All those all-stars, those superstars they have on their team.
Brandon Cooks, but, Robert Woods, Higbee. Are you telling me Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and they can't and it's falling apart because Cooper Kupp isn't there?
And by the way, defensively, they've given up tons of points too.
Yeah.
In games.
Because of Cooper Kupp's not there?
No.
Why?
Just because
apparently it's Cooper Kupp.
No, they were giving it up when Cooper Kupp was there and they were good offensively. They were still giving up 40s in the 40s and 30s. You know, they don't seem – and frankly, I just don't trust Jared Goff. I said it. He looks like a broke-down Ryan Gosling.
Well, their line play isn't as good as it was.
No, it hasn't been.
And when you put pressure on Jared Goff.
But you're right. But then you say Seattle, and I'm like, yeah, that's – oh, that team that lost to Nick Mullins. Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Just lost to him.
Right.
The Bears are handling their business. The most consistent teams right now, Bears, Saints, Texans – believe it or not.
And Colts and
Chargers. Those are the most consistent teams right now.
Yep.
I know the Texans are the worst team you've ever seen. They should be in the bottom five. I know it's the sometimes you weep into your pillow because you don't understand how they've won and you don't like Bill O'Brien because he hurts your pee-pee. I get it. I know.
What about the stat, Bill O'Brien? Four winning seasons now. The Texans... previously, three winning seasons in their history.
Uh-huh.
And Bill O'Brien has four winning
seasons.
Seems like
he just insulted the Texans.
No.
Their lack of winning before Bill O'Brien.
Well, they did have a lack of winning before.
Themselves.
Yeah, they did have a lack of winning before Bill O'Brien. That's a fact.
Only because the 9-7s winning seasons, then the records reflects 9-7s are winning seasons.
And division titles.
And here's division the deal. Titles, but how many seasons have the Texans played good football in their history?
Well, they didn't play bad football then.
I didn't say bad. Good can be, you could be average, you could be above average. How many seasons have they played good football in their history?
Yeah, that's not a lot.
No.
Frankly, not a lot of
what
seasons.
What does that have to do with Bill O'Brien winning four?
Well, how many seasons have they played good football under Bill O'Brien?
But Bill O'Brien took over the Texans, who were a bad organization.
Well, that's still a question. How many seasons of good football have they played under Bill O'Brien?
11 and 12.
I'd say this year. 11 and 12 and probably this year.
This year.
So now I do think, let me ask you a separate question. Based on what they've had from a talent standpoint in any given season, have the Texans played above, below, or to the talent?
I would knock him for those division titles.
I don't think so either. And ultimately, I always say, I judge GMs for the rosters they build. I judge coaches for what they're able to extract out of their talent, and then I blame players for lack of execution or, you know, not playing to their ability.
In game, I will knock him for decisions,
yes.
But I
yes.
won't necessarily say he didn't wring everything he could have out of those 9 and 10 teams.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think he's a great. And you know, we can judge. We can sit here and judge.
Bill O'Brien.
I'm going to say this. Bill O'Brien loses this job. Bill O'Brien will have a job in no time.
Oh, yeah.
As a head coach.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can tell you. I can tell you now. I know a GM that was gonna consider trading for him at one point, and that was gonna hire him last year had he gotten fired because there was a thought he was gonna get fired. But here's the problem. Bill O'Brien, I do believe he's getting the, and we'll get to this. Yeah, in a second. I do believe Bill O'Brien is getting the most out of his teams. And when you look at what Deshaun Watson's working with right now, relative to offensive line and skill position, and we look at the other quarterbacks around the league, you're going to be surprised how low the Texans are relative to skill position.
Dude,
right now.
If Nuke is he's hobbled,
it's a nightmare.
They're in big trouble Sunday. It's a nightmare. They're in big trouble Sunday.
Joe Webb might start. Joe Webb and Sammy Coates.
Your filthy whore mouth.
Sorry, kids. Sorry, Mr. The bad man said that word.
Yeah, well, that's the kids. Don't listen to what that bad man said.
You and the kids.
Joe Webb starting. Which is worse?
Yeah, I'm going to put him. You want to
tell him if he's got a filthy whore mouth or saying Joe Webb starting. You deserve it. You deserve every second of it.
I want to put your wife on a court of marble slab.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do with Jeff Aaronoff. Yeah. Okay. No, Jeff Aaronoff's not going to do that.
So you slide around.
No. He's not going to slide your
wife
around.
No, he's not sliding around with your wife on a marble slab. That's not happening.
It's art.
No, Jeff Aaronoff, first of all.
I'm going to make an art with your lady.
First of all, Jeff's not Italian. Okay.
No. Not sleazy.
And he's not going to do that with your wife.
John didn't say anything about the sleazy part just now.
Now, if she's single.
He didn't correct me on that.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen if she's single? But here's the deal. Is Jeff Aaron, first of all, he's not Italian. I don't know why. Where did that come from anyway?
Jeff Aaronoff. Yao Ming used to talk like this one time too. Carlos Lee.
Why can't Yao Ming talk like he really talks?
Because he doesn't get fired.
Shaq can do it. Why can't we?
Shaq did it like 15. How many years ago did he do that?
Shaq had to apologize. And that was before apologies were in vogue.
He did that like 16 years ago.
Shaq did it in 2002.
Well, Jeff Aaronoff is saying, hey, can you stop talking like that? Talk like I really talk, like this.
Hey, it's me, Jeff Aaronoff.
Is that wrong?
That's kind of right. And if you're looking for Jeff Aaronoff to come to your home, not doing anything with your wife on a marble slab, what he's going to do is he's going to tell you how he can put in new countertops or outdoor patios or vanities or fireplaces. That's what Jeff Aaronoff does, okay, at 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822. He does all of this for you. This is a great gift for her. You can draw it on a piece. Look, I'm going to give you an outdoor patio. How's that? I'm going to give you an outdoor kitchen. How's that? And look, oh, and Jeff Aaronoff comes over and he gets it done. 713-880-2822.
ESPN
97.5. Turn up the lights in here, baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. You know what I need, want you to see everything. Want you to see all of the lights. Something wrong, I hold my head. MJ gone, I'm dead.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Just looking over Michael Brantley's numbers. Michael Brantley,
new Houston Astro, by the way.
Yep. Michael Brantley would have finished third in on base on the Astros behind Bregman and Altuve. I'm not counting Miles Straw. He had two at bats. He would have finished fourth in OPS. He would have finished second in average. So having him up at the top of the order, I don't think is outrageous.
It is for AJ Hinch.
Pardon me?
It's just name the guy that AJ Hinch is going to move. AJ Hinch isn't moving. He's not. You got to stop this trying to get Springer out of the one.
I've always tried to get Springer.
I know, but
I think here's why. 50 games in, or it, like a yeah no, it was about I forget where it was. It was 100 at bats or some crap. He had a majority of his at bats with no one on base. That to me is silly because the bottom of the order was so bad at the beginning of the season. Remember when Jake Marisnik was striking out once every two at bats? It was ridiculous. And he came up with the bases empty. I'm going to take a look here at his splits. George Springer, and he got better as the season went on because with none on. Oh, my God. It was the majority of his at-bat. He had 373 at-bats. Now, a bunch of them are as a leadoff hitter. Okay. But then he came up so many times with no one on that it's just a waste. It's a waste. He had 373 at-bats with none on and 171 with runners on. He only had 98 at-bats with runners in scoring position. He's too good of a run producer to be having those few opportunities. He's got to get more. I don't think you're taking nearly, and I know he likes, and I know they've won. I know all that stuff. He likes to be there and all that stuff. But you got to do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
And he, in the leadoff spot, is not best for the team. He is too good of a run producer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be up there with more guys on base. Driving the ball, hitting home runs with men on. He had 14 solo homers and eight with runners on.
But that's what the other guys do.
That's what the well the no, but he's one, two, three, but he's too thing. Good a hitter. Oh, really? Is that what you want? Carlos Correa to be doing last year when he couldn't hit?
No, Carlos Correa. He can hit in front of Carlos Correa. He's not gonna. They're not gonna move. I don't see them moving Springer. I mean, I really don't. AJ Hinch has him there for a reason. They have a fundamental belief in him hitting first and getting a certain amount of at bats. I don't see Altuve moving, and Bregman has no reason. You have no reason to move him out. Of
He's okay. 373 at-bats with none on, 14 RBIs. With runners on, only 200 fewer at-bats.
You're using a
200
season.
Fewer at-bats and 57
what
RBIs.
What did he do in 2016 or 2017?
Same. It was about the same.
No, it's not the same. He didn't play that much. He was hurt both those seasons.
In 2017, he was there.
Brantley?
No, I'm talking about Springer.
Oh, you're talking about
this is
about
all
George.
Springer.
Well, Springer, but
this is all Springer I'm talking about.
But why do you keep arguing the Springer?
My argument is that Springer against? Springer. I'm talking about Springer. He's wasted in the leadoff hole.
But that's you've made your argument. It's not happening. You know that.
I'm gonna just because things won't change. We're gonna continue. Okay, then you know what we would have here. You know what would happen here, Lance?
He's about to fight inequality, Dell.
What would happen about inequality if no one spoke up? Oh, okay, I made my argument. I'm not going to say anything anymore. What would happen, Del, about inequality in this country?
Can you run down who you're comparing yourself to? Like, since you just
Martin
made...
Martin Luther King?
Ooh.
Okay.
Wow.
Over a leadoff?
He's the Martin Luther King of leadoff arguments.
You're damn right I am.
For George Springer. You think George Springer's oppressed? Does George Springer have to walk into a different... bathroom
no.
than other
no.
leadoff hitters?
Wait,
no.
wait. Are you saying
power
George
hitters?
Shouldn't be there? Or are you fighting for George
I'm
Springer?
I'm fighting for George Springer.
Okay.
For more at-bats with runners in scoring position. For equality. Okay? To equal how many at-bats Correa gets.
Who do you want to put at one? Brantley?
I'm going to put Brantley at one, Bregman at two, Altuve at three, Springer four, Correa five. I said it's
I just want to make sure this is what we're talking about. So you're going to put an African-American player in a position that you feel like is maybe not worthy at the top of the
line. Oh, no. I think Michael Brantley is well worthy of the greatness of a leadoff hitter on the best team in baseball.
And Springer's not?
Springer deserves to have people on base when he hits for power. That's what he deserves. And I'm going to bring that to
John's
him.
John's going to keep shining a light on it, and he doesn't care. That's the thing. He doesn't care. Mm. If it doesn't happen, you keep fighting.
I'm willing to die on this hill with John Granato. Springer is a terrible base runner, too. Oh, by the way, that's another thing. He doesn't steal any bases. I mean, he gets thrown out. How often? I mean, there's another cog. There's another. Just another point right there. Thank you for backing me on this one. And you know what? I think we should everybody climb on, brothers. Let's do this. Let's change the world today. Let's change the world and have a better world with George Springer in the cleanup.
Oh, man, I didn't know John was going to
Okay? It's a better world when George Springer has runners on base.
So you believe you're the Martin Luther King of oppressed power hitters who were actually miscast as leadoff hitters.
Yes, thank you.
So do we need to take you to Memphis at some point?
No. Don't. Jill, stop it.
No, we're not going to Memphis.
There's not a minor league team in Memphis.
There's no major league team. Yes, they got the Memphis Chicks.
Not the Astros.
I'm not
the Astros affiliate.
You know what? I don't care who the Memphis Chicks lead off. Okay?
Do you want to stand on the balcony at the stadium?
I don't give a rat's ass. This is a Houston thing.
Do you want to stand on the balcony at the stadium and see what happens?
No, I don't want to stand on the balcony. Is there a balcony at the stadium?
Sure, there's
no. In the suites,
I'm
maybe.
I'm sure there's an overhang.
In the suites, probably. But no, I'm not standing in their suites. I don't care about the Memphis Chicks. This is a Houston thing. Okay.
So do you want to go to
I'm
going to
ride or die in Houston.
Oh, so we can just take you to Corpus then.
Right. No, I'm not going to Corpus. I don't care about them.
Okay? They're part of the Astros, aren't they?
I'm feeling like I live in a world where George Springer's and Jose, and Alex Bregman are holding hands in the 3 and 4 spot. I have a dream.
I know Martin Luther King. Well, I guess he was a minister. Yeah. This is sacrilegious is what you two are doing right now.
John's put himself out there, and I mean, I'm waiting for him to not argue.
Oh my God!
In favor of
would you rather have Springer strike out with no one on base or bases loaded? How about I have Springer knocking in runs with the bases loaded?
Let me ask you a question: who's blaspheming a World Series MVP?
John smuggling players out of the leadoff spot on the above ground railroad.
The Drayton built. I never thought this damn train would be used for this. I was just hauling pumpkins around.
Here's George Springer on that train.
Mr. Smokey
going
Pants.
Back and forth with Mr. Smokey.
Is John arguing about Hinch leading Springer off? They just won back-to-back 100-win seasons and a World Series.
Yeah.
He's losing this argument.
No. Nope. Yeah.
You know what? We're
let's
not changing. Go.
Let's do things right around here. That's all I'm saying.
We're not changing this lineup.
Yeah.
We're not changing it. You are going to die on that hill. And that Towels Hill.
On Towels Hill.
And it'll just capture three
along
or four of the people
Towels
who
Hill.
Died there. Burpin almost died there. Biggie almost died there. Now you will.
Yeah. 745 ESPN 97.5. Time for you to talk about.
What about the Rockets? What? Winners of 4 straight. James Harden with 47 last night. 102-97. You want to see your Houston Rockets play? Here's one of the best ways to do that right now. You can get single game tickets at Rockets.com. But I got a little something. Maybe a little something better for you to consider. And that is a holiday pack. It's not too late to purchase your Rockets holiday pack, starting as low as $149. 2 different 5-game packages to choose from. You've got the holiday red pack, which has Kyrie Irving and the Celtics, Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, and then Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks come to town, your rookie of the year in all likelihood. Then you got the silver pack, which is Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Golden State, and many, many more. So no matter who you want to see in the league, there's a packet that is going to get you tickets to the Rockets and some really good opponents. Take advantage of the Rockets Holiday Family Special. That's coming up Wednesday night. That's coming up tomorrow. And the Rockets are going to host John Wall and Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, 1 family holiday photo with Santa Clutch, or some live reindeer, starting as low as $89. Do not miss out on this great opportunity. And your family, after you and your family open presents from Santa, come celebrate at Toyota Center when the Rockets face Russell Westbrook and Oklahoma City Thunder 2 p.m. on Christmas Day. Be part of those great Christmas Day basketball matchups by watching the Rockets, James Harden take on Russell Westbrook. That's Tuesday. That's going to be at 2 o'clock on Christmas Day. For more information about all of these great opportunities, go to Rockets.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
See? Woke. That's what people are telling me. I am. See, Del? I'm woke. I've been woke for years. Been woke. Been had woke. I'm really nervous about... I'm not really... I am. I don't know why, but I'm not all about this Philly game. I really haven't all season. When you looked at the schedule before the season started, and I know that's not the same Philly team. I get that.
It's not.
It's not the same Philly team. But I saw a ferocious defense on Sunday night. I saw them coming after Goff. I fear, and they can get to the quarterback. They can get to the quarterback with four guys. And especially with this offensive line, I just kind of feel like, man, I'm just worried for Deshaun's life, and especially if there's no Nuke.
I'm worried every game for his life, but
Graham and Cox and Bennett and good. I mean, I just think that this is a bad matchup for them. And if Nuke's hobbled. Goodness gracious, who's he going to throw? Who is he going to throw to? There are no tight ends on the team. There's no slot backs anymore. There's Demarius is he just turned 60. It's I really believe when you look at teams, when you look at the Chiefs, when you look at the Rams, when you look at the Saints, and you look at weapons. I mean, I think Tariq Cohen is going to turn into a he's going to turn into a Kareem Jackson slash Tyreek. He's quick and I really love the way Matt Nagy's using him. That I think he's got a chance to be a really big producer. Who's that for the Texans? Who Kiki QT who can't get on the field? Who is that guy? Who is that guy that's explosive in this? Nuke is a 50-50 phenom.
Here's what I
love. He's an 80-20 guy. No. But who's explosive?
Here's what I love. What I don't like. What I don't like is this narrative about the good Philadelphia team. We got to stop saying that. They're not a good team.
No, I just
they're
think
not a good.
They got a good pass rush. That's a problem.
They have a worse secondary than the Texans. They have special teams guys. They were playing receivers there just two games ago. They have major, major issues. Now, that's why I can't get into this talk about this dangerous team called Philadelphia Eagles that won a Super Bowl. They're not a dangerous team. It's just do they show up and play decent football or not? That team hasn't shown up at all this year. They don't exist. The problem that is a very valid problem is the ones you're spelling out. They don't have receiving threats. As long as they have Hopkins, they may have enough. But if they don't have Hopkins... Or if they don't have Hopkins at least 90%, that's a major, major, major issue. The matchups of pass rushers versus offensive line is obviously a concern. I'm not concerned about their offense versus the Texans' defense that much. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey is not a fast guy, but he is a vertical guy. So it bothers you a little bit, and Aguilar. And Nick Foles is comfortable with those wide receivers. We know that. But they've had some real issues offensively. That has not been a good offensive team at all this year. It's been an incredibly disappointing offensive team. They're one of the lower scoring teams in the league right now. People act like they're the team that we saw last year in the playoffs. They're not. So I don't buy into the team, the Eagles. What I do buy into is matchup concerns. And there is matchup concerns. You know, I was thinking about this with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If the Texans end up matching up with the Steelers at some point, I haven't been impressed with the Steelers this year, but from a matchup standpoint, Brown and Smith-Schuster, that's a big, big concern for the Houston Texans. I don't think it's going to be hard to fade teams that have two big wide receiver threats. Now, I don't know that the New England Patriots have that this year because Josh Gordon, and you can't. Tom Brady can't do anything without outside receivers. He just can't. But obviously the two teams, probably the two scariest teams, maybe even more than the Chargers, are the Steelers because of their two receivers and from a bad matchup standpoint, and then the Chiefs.
What about the Colts? T.Y. Hilton, who owns the Texans?
Yeah,
that's a bad matchup.
They got to get there, although they could definitely
there. I'm going to tell you, are they not? They are, I think, by far the scariest of all of the Tennessee, Baltimore.
They're not scary.
No, that's not scary. You know who's scary? The Colts.
Yeah, Houston's not a scary
no,
team.
No, but here's
they
the deal.
They just beat you,
even,
but they're not
scary. Even when you beat the Colts, thanks to Frank Reich, they put up 34, okay? And T.Y. Hilton owns that dude. I mean, and now, okay, you're right. Make that Antonio Brown. Make that Tyreek Hill. Holy crap. How are you going to cover Tyreek Hill?
Well, you're not. I mean, that's why I don't think they can beat the Chiefs. I don't see. It's just a bad matchup.
You can score on the Chiefs, though.
You can, but they don't score touchdowns. Like, all this field goal kicking, they'd have to do something they haven't done really all year, which is turn field goals to touchdowns.
That's
you can't beat the Chiefs with field goals. You can't kick any
no,
field
but the
goals
Chiefs, if you want to know the truth, the Chiefs are probably the worst defense that they will have faced.
Yeah, the Texans have scored 31 to beat the Chiefs, to have a shot.
Yeah.
I think
they can against the Chiefs.
Maybe. They end up shooting themselves in the foot so often. It's not that teams stopped them. They stopped themselves also. That's what bothers me about the Texans from a matchup standpoint. I don't think you want to be – now, I think they can dirty it up and beat a lot of teams. If they're able to dirty it up,
well,
the Texans can beat a lot of teams.
Let's face it. They ain't doing nothing. Nothing if Nuke ain't healthy.
No.
And so here's an issue. Okay? He's hobbled. Do you sit him? Because you got one more game to win to win the division. One more.
So
win.
We had this discussion on Blitz yesterday about the same thing with
about your on your number one show,
The Blitz with me and Fred and AJ and John. But we were talking about Melvin Gordon. Do the Chargers sit Melvin Gordon? Because my idea is get him as healthy as possible, yeah. And you can beat anybody anywhere. But then the concept and the idea of being able to win a division and have home field throughout, you know, maybe you do have to bring back Melvin Gordon if he's at 85%.
Oh, I think that's a different case than the Texans, I think.
You know, the Texans are playing for a 2 seed and home field throughout other than AFC Championship. That's a major,
major
deal.
Well, let's not forget, and again, Keenan Allen goes down, okay? Dude has been here all year, which is amazing because Keenan Allen is never there all year, and then gets hurt right now at the most critical time. And Melvin Gordon down, Eckler down.
Concussion for Eckler. They do have some. That team for being the new favorite in the AFC potentially. They've got some scary issues, especially if there's a reaggravation for Melvin Gordon. Because we never know on concussions how long that's going to last. That could end up being a 1 year thing for Kevin Johnson. By the way, I'm not 100% sure Kevin Johnson ever plays for the Houston Texans again. How about that? We saw it happen with Fedorowicz. No, I'm just saying for the guy.
For the player. Yeah, for him.
I feel bad for him,
but I feel bad every time I see him play, though.
I do too. But he stacked concussions this year.
Yeah. No, that's bad.
I had no doubt he wasn't going to come back at any point this year.
You know what he needs is a new toothbrush, probably.
This is a reach.
No, here's the deal: is if you're somebody that you don't know what you're doing with your mouth, here's the deal: how about getting a Quip toothbrush? You don't know what your mouth is going through right now. You know the heartache that you put your mouth through all these years because you can't get it right brushing your teeth. Your horrible, rotten pegs are sitting there going, what the bleep in the bleep? There's a Quip sitting there, and you're not even moving on this thing? GetQuip.com. How about for your kids? Do you not love your kids? If you love your kids, you'll get them a Quip toothbrush so that they brush their teeth right, so that they don't have cavities for the rest of their life and live a horrible, rotten life with no teeth. Do you want them to be British? No. What you need is getquip.com/ESPN975. You don't want your kids to be British, grow up to be British. You want them to have great teeth, and you learn how to brush your teeth for just $25. Are you kidding me? Getquip.com/ESPN975. That's a great stocking stuffer, and the kids will love it. It tells you how to brush your teeth. Getquip.com/ESPN975.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.